Think about the last time you trusted a machine completely. Not partially, not with your hand resting on the controls, completely. Most of us who fly have a complicated relationship with automation. We use it, we understand it, we trust it within limits, and we know exactly where those limits are, because we are the ones who draw them. So when I tell you there is a company that wants to put passengers into an electric aircraft with no pilot, no backup pilot, and no remote operator in any traditional sense, and let that aircraft fly them from one city to the next while those passengers read their phones, I want to know your gut reaction, because that reaction tells you something about where you sit on the automation spectrum. I'm Vector on Clear Direct Radio Hangar's technology segment, and today we are talking about Wisk Aero. Before we get into the engineering and the regulatory question at the center of this story, a word from our sponsor. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey, beautifully made and built to last. AviationSoul.com, Wisk Aero, is a company most people in aviation know by name but cannot quite place. That is partly because the company has changed names more than once and partly because their development program runs quietly in the background while Joby and Archer fight for the spotlight. Here is the background. The aircraft that became the foundation for Wisk originated inside Kitty Hawk, which is Larry Page's aviation venture. Kitty Hawk had several advanced projects, but the one that became Wisk was a multi-copter electric vertical takeoff and landing design that started flight testing in New Zealand in 2018. Boeing invested and became the primary backer after Kitty Hawk wound down its other aviation projects, and the electric aircraft division became what is now Wisk Aero, headquartered in Mountain View, California. Boeing's involvement matters. We will come back to it. The aircraft itself is now in its sixth generation. The design philosophy has been remarkably consistent across every iteration. 12 lift rotors arranged around the airframe, one pusher propeller for forward flight, 4 passenger seats, and a cruise speed in the neighborhood of 90 miles per hour, with a range of roughly 90 miles. Those numbers are in the same ballpark as most competitors in the electric vertical takeoff and landing market. What makes Wisk fundamentally different is not the vehicle. It is the seat count. There is no pilot seat. Let me be precise about that, because the word autonomous gets used loosely in aviation right now, and it deserves a sharper definition here. Wisk is not designing an aircraft with an optional pilot seat. They plan to phase out later. They are not designing for remote pilotage where a human operator watches a screen from the ground and intervenes on demand. They are designing for what the industry calls full autonomy, meaning an aircraft that manages itself from liftoff to touchdown without a human in the control loop during normal operations. That is categorically different from what every other passenger electric aircraft company is pursuing right now. Joby's S4 is designed for one pilot. Archer's Midnight is designed for one pilot. Every meaningful passenger EV2L in the current certification pipeline is a pilot-operated aircraft with high automation support. They are building very sophisticated autopilots with humans watching over them. Wisk is building something else entirely. Let's break this down from the engineering side first, and then we will get to the regulatory situation, which is where things become genuinely complicated. From a hardware standpoint, Wisk's sixth-generation aircraft has a lot in common with its competitors: lithium-ion battery packs, distributed electric motors, redundant lift rotor systems designed so that the aircraft can lose one or more motors and still complete a safe landing. The physical redundancy architecture is mapped to what aviation certification requires for continued safe flight after single-point failures and emergency safe landing capability, after certain combinations of multiple failures. That kind of fault tolerance analysis is standard in any serious certification program. Wisk's hardware story is solid, if not dramatically different from the field. Where the company has put the bulk of its engineering effort and where it believes it holds a genuine competitive advantage is in the software stack. Wisk has accumulated more than 1,500 autonomous test flights in New Zealand, all conducted without anyone on board. That is a meaningful dataset. Most of it sits outside the formal regulatory record because it was conducted under New Zealand's experimental framework, but the data exists. Wisk is using it to train and validate the decision systems that will eventually live in a certified aircraft. 1,500 flights sounds substantial, and compared to other eVTOL autonomy programs, it is, but let us keep some perspective. Commercial aviation in the United States logs somewhere around 45 million flight hours per year across all operators. The accumulated experience base that underpins current airline safety numbers is measured in billions of flight hours. What WISC has is a meaningful beginning on autonomous flight data. It is not by itself proof of safety at scale. The Federal Aviation Administration knows this too. In 2023, WISC submitted a type certificate application to the FAA for an autonomous air taxi. This is unprecedented. There is no existing certification standard in federal aviation regulations for a passenger-carrying aircraft with no pilot. The closest frameworks live in the unmanned aircraft world, specifically the Part 107 regulations covering commercial drones, but those were written for unmanned systems operating in relatively simple airspace with relatively simple missions. They were not written for four-passenger vehicles flying complex urban routes on commercial air taxi schedules. The FAA has a process for exactly this kind of gap. It is called the issue paper process, and it is how the agency works through certification requirements for novel aircraft where the existing standards do not cleanly apply. WISC is deep in that process. They have said publicly that they expect the type certificate to take many years, not months, and that they are in many ways co-authoring the regulatory framework alongside the agency. That is simultaneously a strength and a risk. It is a strength because WISC has a seat at the table as the rules get written. If you are going to be first through a regulatory door that does not yet exist, you want to help design the door. The company is not sitting back waiting for the FAA to hand down standards from above. They are in working groups, submitting technical data, and actively shaping what autonomous passenger aircraft certification is going to look like in this country. The risk is that this is slow and expensive, and the standards that emerge may be more conservative than the technology actually warrants. Regulatory bodies tend toward caution when technology outpaces rulemaking, and in aviation, it always does. The FAA's job is not to enable innovation. It is to ensure safety. Those goals are not always in conflict, but they are not the same goal. There is a harder technical argument at the center of all this, and I want to give it the attention it deserves. The autonomous certification path requires WISC to prove something genuinely difficult to prove, that their system makes better decisions than a human pilot in the situations where things go wrong. Not equivalent decisions, better ones. Here's what most people miss when they first encounter the case for autonomous passenger aviation. The argument for removing the pilot is not purely economic, though the economics matter enormously. The deeper argument is statistical. Pilot error, or some combination of pilot error and other factors, is responsible for the overwhelming majority of aviation accidents across all sectors. Not mechanical failure alone. Not weather alone, human error in some form shows up in most accident chains. If you can build a system that does not get fatigued, does not get spatially disoriented, does not fixate on one problem while another develops, does not make the perceptual errors that kill crews in controlled flight into terrain events, you potentially have a safer system. That is WISC's fundamental technical argument. The pilot is not a safety net. The pilot is a risk factor. Now, I want to acknowledge that this argument lands differently depending on where you're sitting. If you spend time in the human factors literature, documenting how automation complacency, mode confusion, and over-reliance on autopilot create new classes of failure, you hear that argument with real skepticism. Advanced automation has not eliminated human error from aviation. It has changed the shape of it. The accidents we have today look different from the accidents we had before autopilots and flight management systems. But we still have accidents. So the honest version of WISC's argument has to account for the ways software systems fail too. Not fatigue and spatial disorientation, but sensor degradation, software edge cases, adversarial conditions, the training data never saw. The algorithmic equivalent of a crew that has never encountered a particular failure mode and does not have the intuition to recognize it. The threshold of better than a human is also not a fixed target. It is a moving target. As aviation gets safer, the acceptable accident rate gets lower. What WISC needs to demonstrate is not just that their system outperforms the average general aviation pilot on a clear day. They need to prove that it handles the long tail of unusual, degraded, and novel conditions at a level that satisfies the FAA's safety quantification standards. And those standards for an autonomous passenger aircraft do not fully exist yet because nobody has written them. Let me spend a moment on the business case, because it explains why Boeing has stayed committed to this program through a period when the broader eVTOL market has been shaky. The economics of urban air mobility with a pilot are genuinely difficult to make work. The aircraft costs millions of dollars to build. Battery costs are substantial. Route structures are short, which limits revenue per flight. When you add a type-rated pilot to the equation, one who needs to meet Part 135 air carrier requirements for training, currency, and duty time, The operating cost of a $12 a mile air taxi service becomes very hard to make profitable at any real scale. Remove the pilot and the math changes, not overnight, not perfectly. The labor cost is a significant portion of the operating cost in any transportation business, and removing it restructures the business model. Boeing has looked at the pilot-first path that Joby and Archer are pursuing and made a different bet. Their bet, through WISC, is that the long-term value in this market goes to whoever cracks autonomous certification first. The pilot-first companies are building products for the next decade. WISC is building what Boeing believes is the infrastructure for the decade after that. There is a geopolitical dimension to this worth noting as well. China's electric aviation sector is moving faster than any Western market, in part because the regulatory environment there allows novel operations at scale that the FAA would not currently permit. EHang, which makes an autonomous two-passenger aircraft called the 216, received a type certificate from China's Civil Aviation Administration in 2023. That certificate does not transfer to the United States, and the safety framework behind it is not equivalent to what the FAA requires. But the operating experience data that accumulates from certificated commercial autonomous flights in China is real data, and it is building up faster than anything comparable in this country. The FAA is aware of the competitive dynamic. Whether that awareness accelerates their work on autonomous certification standards is a genuinely open question. So, where does this leave us with an honest assessment? WISC Aero has real technology. The autonomous flight data from New Zealand is real. The engineering team is experienced and serious. Boeing's financial backing is substantial. The FAA engagement appears to be genuine and working rather than adversarial. The company is not a slideware operation. They are flying actual hardware on actual autonomous missions. But autonomous passenger certification in the United States has never been done. There is no precedent to reference. Every novel technical argument WISC makes to the FAA has to be validated against standards that are being written in real time. That takes years in the best case. It can take longer if the political environment around autonomous systems shifts, if there is a high-profile autonomous aircraft incident anywhere in the world, or if FAA staffing and resource constraints slow the pace of the working groups. The realistic view is that WISC will not have a certified autonomous air taxi operating commercial routes before the early to mid-2030s. That is the optimistic estimate. The conservative read is mid to late 2030s. That window gives Joby and Archer time to establish the pilot-operated air taxi category first, build the infrastructure, build public trust in the eVTOL platform generally, and potentially do some of WISC's work for them by demonstrating that electric vertical flight is reliable. It also gives Boeing patience to let the regulatory process mature before needing a commercial return. The deeper question for anyone watching this from the cockpit is not really about WISC as a company. It is about what autonomous passenger aviation means as a concept. Whether it is exciting or unsettling, probably tells you something honest about your relationship with the controls. Most of us who fly did not learn because we wanted the machine to handle it. We learned because we wanted to handle it ourselves. WISC's answer to that is simple. The aircraft does not need us, and they are betting the FAA will eventually agree. Much of what I covered today comes from WISC Aero's own technical publications, coverage in Aviation Week and Aerospace America, and the publicly accessible record from the FAA's type certificate and issue paper process. More at radiohangar.com if you want to go deeper. I'm Vector. See you next time.